Now, we've been dealing with acceptable worship. It's one thing to worship in church, but how do we continue to worship when we face the difficulties in our lives? Fear and worry, discouragement, depression, all these different things. And last week, I talked about depression. And it was brought to my attention after the service, someone came up to me and said, I got a bone to pick with you. And I said, uh-oh, what did I do wrong? This person said, well, you talked about depression and how ladies have it and children have it, but you didn't say anything about husbands. We have it too, folks. You know, men get depressed just like ladies get depressed. Am I absolved? Thank you. There you go. See, I didn't have to say who it was, did I? Okay. Now that we've got that out of the way, all right. So how do we worship when life beats us down? Because that's, as I said last week, it's so easy to worship and sing songs and praise the Lord and fellowship together here and everybody loving everybody else, and we walk out the door and we're hit right in the face with life. And life doesn't care about what goes on in here. Not at all. And so we really need to know how to do it. And the Bible's very clear. God has given us everything that we need for godliness. In fact, He's given us it all in one place. It's called the Word of God. That's all we need, folks. You know, people say you need this external thing and that external thing. No, you don't. You need the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it gets in and it really does its work on the inside, cutting between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It just is. But there are a lot of Christians who wish the Bible had specific rules governing everything, everything. Then they would know what they can do in every situation. Now, maybe you're like that, but it's not as easy as it sounds. Sometimes it's easy to decide between right and wrong because we have the Ten Commandments, right? And so if you're going to steal something, you know the Ten Commandments says you're not supposed to steal, right? The Ten Commandments don't change, and I thank God that they really are here. However, a book that specifically governs every situation would be huge. Can you imagine trying to bring that book to church with you? You know, I encourage you to bring it. Nobody would be able to get their book in the door. There are many questions about right and wrong that are not specifically covered by the Ten Commandments. Do you realize in the Old Testament there are 614 commandments in the Old Testament? That pales into comparison when you get to the New Testament. There's over 1,050 commands in the New Testament. But folks, the Bible is not a book about rules. God has given all the principles that we need to be able to live for Him on a daily basis. And that's the exciting thing. So today, so many people think that they can find anything they want, all the answers, all of them, in Google or YouTube or Facebook, right? You ask a question, Google has the answer, right? You need a solution, YouTube will show you how to do it. You need an opinion, Facebook's got gazillions of them. But how about the major issues of life? You know, like marriage and divorce and worship and spiritual gifts and how to act in church. Google is not the Bible. I didn't hear any. Thank you, Dan. YouTube is not the Bible. Amen. Facebook is not the Bible. Amen. You see, Pastor, there are just so many things we're supposed to do. I can't do all of these things. Well, you're right. Because can't never could do anything. Did you hear me? Can't never could do anything. So let's make our church, ECBC, a can-do church. I'm tired of hearing all these things we can't do. Let's be a can-do church. I can come to church. In fact, church should be your excuse for missing everything else. Do you hear me? Church should be your excuse for missing everything else. I can sing in the choir. I can go to the Gardens of Gettysburg. And I said it right the first time. Praise the Lord. I can pass out daily breads to folks. We've got them on both ends, folks. Pick a daily bread up. Who was it that was telling me about somebody that was in a line or something and they were passing out the daily breads? That's wonderful. That is a witness. I can invite my neighbors to church. Isn't that what Paul said? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We can do it. Now, here... There you go.
I can do.
Amen. We can do. All right. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and all the way through, in fact, till chapter 10, Paul lays out several very important principles. Now, we need to have some background about the church at Corinth. Paul wrote this letter to correct what was going on in Corinth. Corinth had heard from a letter, the first letter that Paul wrote, which we don't have record of. But what was going on? And they were taking it to gigantic excess. They were just doing crazy stuff. And so he's emphasizing conduct in the local church. He expected people who are Christians would act like Christians. So he's writing to babies. In fact, in chapter 3, he says, "Brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready." Ooh. And he tells them they should know how to respond in every situation. We should. So that's why I've titled the message, I Can Do Church. I want to look at God's standards for living our lives. How do we do that? How do we determine if what we're doing is going to be pleasing to the Lord? So let me give you some biblical guidelines. I'll give them to you real quick, and then I'll expand on them for, I don't know, 2.5 hours or so. Will our actions help us to worship the Lord? Will our actions be controlled by Christ? Do our actions build others up to serve the Lord? Do our actions glorify the Lord? And are our actions a witness for the Lord? So there they are. And these principles, if we really take them to heart and do them, will teach us how to live and to respond in any situation, any activity we have, we'll be able to take care of things that way. You see, the ability to make wise decisions is a mark of maturity. Remember now, the church at Corinth were a bunch of babies. They were crazy people. James says, "Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by their good life." Remember, these aren't rules now. These are principles. And we should all learn how to use them. So look again, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You are in your Bibles, right? Yeah, okay. He says, Paul said in verse 12, "All things are lawful for me, but not everything is beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be controlled by anything." And then Paul goes on to say in verse 19, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have of God? You are not your own, so you are bought with a price. Glorify God with your body and your spirit, which are God's." Folks, that's acceptable worship in action. Glorifying God in your body and in your spirit. And then in chapter 10, in verse 23, he says, "Everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is lawful, but not everything builds others up." Now, Paul is using a phrase that evidently in the letter that he got back from Chloe, that the Corinthians were going around saying, "Everything is lawful for me to do." And they were just launching off. They were doing everything. No matter what it was, they said, "Well, we can do it because everything's lawful to me." So Paul shows them how they misuse their freedom in the Lord. And he uses the same logic that Jesus used in the Sermon on the Mount. You remember back then in Matthew 5, he said, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for them who spitefully use you. Oh, Pastor, did you have to bring that up this morning? You don't understand who I just, you know, I was talking to, I was on the phone, you know, I was on the internet, and this person, you know, we could go on all day with that, couldn't we? Paul uses everything but, you know, Jesus said, I say unto you, but, he's using everything but. He says, everything is lawful, but not everything's beneficial. Everything's lawful, but I'm not going to be controlled by it. Everything is lawful, but not everything builds up. And what Paul's trying to do there is saying, is there any word from God about this particular thing that you're doing? Because, folks, when God speaks, it's settled. Amen? It really is. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for, you know, to do all of these things so that we can be fully prepared to do things in this Christian life. So there are five kind of questions raised that can help us decide whether something is right or wrong. And the first one is this: all things are lawful, but not everything is beneficial, or not everything is helpful. Will our actions help us to worship the Lord? Every decision, every activity, either moves us towards the Lord or it moves us away from the Lord. There's no neutral. There's no neutral. So is what I'm doing helpful to bring me closer to the Lord Jesus? And the goal is, of course, as Paul said in Romans 8:29, that we would be conformed to the image of his Son, that we would be like Jesus. That's what God is doing in this world with his children. He's conforming us to his Son. I know that there are people who say, I wish he'd do a little less conforming, you know, because it's hurting right now. Well, yes, it does. But the ultimate goal is we are going to be like the Lord Jesus. So first, if that's not happening, then whatever you're doing is wrong. Does the thing get me closer to where I need to be? You know, I can legally do anything I please, and I'm not going to lose my salvation as a result of it. Now, that might shake some people, but you're once saved, always saved, right? Amen. I mean, that's the scripture is very clear. Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life, and you will never perish. Those are some pretty powerful words there. I can legally do anything I want to. However, not everything I do helps me grow as a Christian, brings me closer to the Lord. So if that's not happening in your life, then why are you doing it? See, God has a plan for all of us. Paul said to the Ephesians that we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to be mature people, grown-ups. Remember, now he's talking to the Corinthians, who are a bunch of babies. A bunch of babies. So will our actions help us to worship the Lord? Here's number two. Will our actions be controlled by Christ? Paul said, all things are lawful, but not everything is beneficial. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be controlled by anything. Folks, we were all controlled by our sin nature, the sins in our lives before we were saved. Paul said in Ephesians, you were once dead because of your disobedience. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our nature. We were by nature the subject of God's anger, just like everybody else. However, I'm so thankful that Paul didn't stop there. He said in verse 4, But God, who is so rich in mercy, has loved us. And even when we were dead in our sins, he has raised us up together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. Now, anything other than the Lord Jesus that controls our life is wrong. It really is. We need to search our lives and be sure that no habit, no attitude, no activity, no pursuit has control of us. So, will our actions be controlled? Here's number three. Do our actions build others up to serve the Lord? 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul said, everything is lawful, but everything's not beneficial. Everything is lawful, but not everything builds others up. Too many times we as Christians seem to think, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get me built up. Folks, that's not the goal. The goal is for us to build others up. Because when you build someone else up and they build you up, guess who gets built up? Everybody. We all get built up. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we hear is either building up or it's tearing down. Every conversation, every activity has got to be judged that way. Because, folks, I'll say this again, but this world's watching us. They really are. Does it weaken our walk with the Lord Jesus? Our lives should be lived in such a way that it builds up the Lord Jesus. Because when we build up the Lord Jesus, we will be built up. Paul said we're members of the body of Christ. Folks, I want our church to be the kind of church when somebody is around us and they leave us, they love Jesus just a little bit more than they did when they got in here. And you know what? I thank you all and praise the Lord for you guys, because I've heard testimony from people who have visited here who just think you guys are the, what is it called? The cat's meow. All right, I like that one. I mean, they just brag on you guys, and that's wonderful. That's what we ought to be doing. People ought to think when they come here and we sing together and we praise together and we hug each other and we talk to one another, that when they leave here, they say, wow, there's something different about that group. You know what it is? It's the Lord. That's the difference. I want to do the kinds of things that will make us stronger and make us better. So here's number four. Do our actions glorify the Lord? We do a lot of things, and people do a lot of church stuff. They do. But what you're doing, does it glorify the Lord? In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do. Remember, as a Christian, everything you do reflects back on your Savior. It really does. And it's either going to be positive or it's going to be negative. Paul told the church in Philippi, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does our life exalt God in the eyes of the world? So, do our actions help us? Are we controlled by the Lord? Do we build others up? Do we glorify the Lord? Let me give you one more. Are our actions a witness for the Lord? Ooh. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul said this, and it just flies in the face of a lot of what we hear today. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. And what you have on the screen, I have become all things to all people so that by all means I might save some. Folks, what that does not mean is that we are to compromise with the world in order to fit in. That's not what that's saying. Some have used Paul's statement, I have become all things to all people, as an excuse to live any kind of crazy life, thinking, hey, you know, that's the way it is, hoping that those who are not saved will be impressed by what we're doing and come to the Lord. That is so far from reality. Paul never compromised God's moral standards. He was willing to fit in so he could reach a different audience. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be weird. And we have a lot of weird Christians. He was willing to fit in so he could reach the audience. Whether they were Jews or whether they were Greeks or didn't matter who they were, he was willing to do what needed to be done according to the Word of God. He could do it. So a couple of things along those lines. To become all things to all people, here's a couple of things you need to understand. Number one, you need to listen. We're often so eager to share our own thoughts, especially when we know this other person needs to hear about Jesus. We're so into jumping into the middle of things. I mean, we all do it, don't we? I finish Roselle's statements, sentences all the time. In fact, we've gotten to the point in our relationship, she'll go, and I'll say, and we know what we're talking about. Anybody looking at us think, what is on with those guys? But, you know, the thing is, we need to listen to one another. And by listening, we show them that we care rather than simply we're some kind of a mission out there to convert them. Proverbs 12:15 says, a wise man listens to advice. Listen. Second thing is, be kind. Be kind. Getting in the last word doesn't mean we won the argument or even that we earned that person's respect. Paul said, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. You see, kindness and respect never go out of style, folks. It really doesn't. We don't have to approve the culture to reach those who are in the culture. We need to listen to understand where these people are spiritually and then find things that we have in common with them so that we may be able to reach people who are hungry for the truth that they may never have heard. Our goal is to be compassionate, except when it comes to the cross. Folks, the message of the cross of Christ is an offense to this world. It really is. But we cannot water it down. I'll say it again. We cannot water it down. Paul said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them who are perishing. Jesus said, don't worry, don't be shocked if the world hates you. They hated me first. To become all things to all people, we've got to be willing to meet people where they are. You can't sit in your ivory tower and expect to talk to people who are down in the masses. It doesn't work that way, folks. All of us go into this world every day, and we all go into a godless, heathenistic world every day. And we need to be the kind of people that they'll take notice of. Show them the love of the Lord Jesus. Talk to them, not at them. And there's a difference there. Talk to them. Don't talk at them. Listen to them so that you know ways that they'll be able to understand how God can transform their lives. People are watching us. So I guess the question is, does our life move people towards God or away from God? See, our lifestyle matters. I was told the other day about an old Southern expression. When a mom used to get her kids together and they were going on a picnic or wherever they were going, you know what the mom used to say to them? Don't be acting ugly. Y'all behave yourself. Did I get that accent pretty good? All right, okay. We should try to reach everybody we come in contact with. But we will be ineffective as long as our talk and our walk aren't the same. Are we a living witness for Him? Are we? So as we prepare for communion, let's ask ourselves this question. In my life, will my actions help me to worship the Lord? Will my actions be controlled by Christ? Do my actions build others up to serve the Lord? Do my actions glorify the Lord? And are my actions a witness for the Lord? Because if we'll take these lessons and live our lives by them, we will be a blessing to the Lord, and we will be able to witness to others to bring them to the Lord. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for your goodness. We're thankful for all that you do in our lives. And Lord, I pray that as we come to the communion table this morning, that we would understand how wonderful you are, that you gave your life for us. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. We're thankful in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Just before communion.